Good morning, how we doing? Good to see you today. Enjoying a little bit cooler weather, right? So it hasn't been bad this week. Good stuff. We are in week 17 of our study of the book of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out and turn to chapter 6. We're going to be looking briefly at verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to jump around throughout the Bible today, and we'll be looking at some other passages. Let me remind you of what Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So kind of using that as the foundation for this morning's message, and we're going to, again, kind of look throughout the Bible what it has to say about parenting as we focus on this last part of verse 4, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Now, that being said, the first thing that I would like for us to consider is how our words, the things we say, play a part in our parenting. So using that as a backdrop, what does the Bible say? Well, James chapter 3, verse 2 says, "We all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle his whole body. And the point is that we all stumble in the way that we use our mouth at times. Like, we say wrong things. Like, no one is perfect. And you guys have experienced that with some of the things that I've said over the years, right? And yesterday, I was reminded, right? If you were at the memorial service yesterday, again, reminded of what I said years ago. I will say years ago, but I actually was wanting people to bring poinsettias to the church, and I mistakenly said placentas. Yeah, you heard it right, okay? So, you know, mistakes are made. I also said during Christmas time, that they were going to Bellingham instead of Bethlehem. And so I've done, like, just a ton of those, right? The good news is this. The good news is that we can move along in the right direction, and God's words help us to do that, right? It helps us to grow, and I've learned some things over the years. And so my prayer for all of the parents that are here this morning is that you just might grow a bit in this area of your life, like in words. And let me give you several situations on how the Bible tells us we should respond. So one of the situations that you might face in your family sometimes is that maybe a family member just, like, worries a lot. Your kids worries, your spouse worries, you might be a worrier, and so they just might worry about things, and maybe to you that doesn't seem all that important, but it is important to them. So how do you respond to somebody who is worrying? Well, there's a great verse in Proverbs. When somebody is worried, it says that we should speak kindly to them. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. And so the opposite of anxiety is a kind word, an encouraging word, a good word. Have any anxiety in your house? One of the things that will make a difference is a kind word that you choose to use. Encouraging words just brings a smile to people's hearts. And we can focus a little bit more on the joy that the Lord has for us in that situation. Now, here's how I usually respond in my house, whether, you know, it was Trudy or the kids, and and they're worried about something, you know me, I'm like, well, it'll be fine, right? It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Like, you know, like the prophet spoke, and it'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And I'm sure that was super encouraging for them. How about somebody that is angry? Well, what are we supposed to do? Speak gently. Well, how do we do that? And if you're like me, I just like yell louder than the other guy, right? Whoever's the loudest wins. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, here's one of many verses. And you probably have this one in the back of your mind right now. You might be thinking about it. A gentle answer turns away wrath, right? We need to understand this word gentle. Gentle words are words that are humble. Humility means I care more about your needs than my needs. I love C.S. Lewis on humility. He said this, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. So that's how you break the cycle of yelling and arguing that plagues a lot of families. And so some people think that gentleness means quietness, right? As long as you're not yelling or speaking loudly to the other person, you just speak with a soft tone, then that's a gentle answer. And I really think you can send some pretty good zingers without raising your voice, right? It's not talking about tone of voice here. A gentle answer has to do with the attitude of your heart. The next one is to learn to speak wisely. And sometimes as parents, as Christians, we don't like realize how important our advice to other people is. And I don't think of it much when other people come to me and they ask, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? You know, you just kind of share with them, right? Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. In other words, the wise person speaks the right words at the right time. And the settings of silver only enhance the inherent value of golden apples. Probably a reference here to jewelry or some kind of work of art. Similarly, the inherent value of a wise word is enhanced when it's spoken in the right circumstances. And then Proverbs 15:23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in a season, how good it is. So saying the right word at the right time can actually change people's lives, right? And I don't know about you, but when that happens, when I'm talking to someone, and I kind of know, well, we just kind of gave a good word, and they received it well, I'm like, yeah, that's sweet, right? I'm like, nailed it right there. It's a good thing. Here's a suggestion. Help with advice in little situations with your kids so that you earn the right to give advice in the big situations in life. And I know you can't make every decision for your kids, nor should you. But you can have good communication and talk about what the Bible says about whatever decision that they're trying to make. And there's nothing better than just taking time to speak wisely to our kids. Right? It brings great joy to our lives. And then obviously your kids get older, and as parents, you don't make the decision like you did when they were young, and you begin to what? You begin to guide their decision. Now my son's 30 and he guides me, right? Dad, you're old. You need to like do this. What do you do when someone's hurting? Well, you speak encouraging words to them. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12, for you know how like a father with his children we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Right? That's how a father talks. Sometimes we live in sort of the opposite of home on the range, where seldom is heard an encouraging word and the skies remain cloudy all day, right? Ann Landers, who was an advice columnist years ago, was asked, what's the most common question of the millions of questions people ask? You know what she said? She said this, the most common question, what is wrong with me? And I think a lot of that is built in our homes, right? There are millions and millions of people growing up with this secret sense of failure, often because the people that they're closest to, their family, never took the time to offer what? Words of encouragement. Pleasant words have a tremendous amount of power, and they can bring healing to a family. All right, the last one in this section is, parents, we must always take time to listen. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Be quick to listen. And again, I'm thinking about my own life, and I go, usually when I'm listening, what am I doing? I'm really trying to think about the next thing that I'm going to say. And oftentimes, I don't really hear what the other person is saying. And sometimes, because I'm getting old, I don't hear very well. I actually wrongly hear what they're saying. And we are in such a rush to speak sometimes when the Bible says, be in a hurry to what? Listen. Well, what a great skill that is. It's one of the, I think, one of the great skills of parenting, the ability to listen. All right, you'll remember last week we went over how as parents we're to nurture our kids. And I talked about the Bible and I talked about our example as ways to do that. This week we're going to see as Christian parents there are some things that we're just responsible to do. Last part of Ephesians 6:4, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So what does that entail? Well, first we are responsible to love our children. Titus 2:4 says this. It's an interesting verse. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children. And in this section of scripture, Paul is telling Titus, you don't teach the young women, but rather have the older women teach the younger women. And then he says, here's what they are to teach them, to love their husbands and to love their children. And God has given them just the strategic position of influence and assistance to their husband and to their children, and they must let love dominate that influence and that assistance. And Paul says that love for husbands and children must be taught. I thought that was interesting. He says, train them, teach them. And certainly aspects of love are inborn and they're innate and all that stuff, but other aspects, especially aspects that reflect a self-sacrificing sacrifice of Jesus, must be taught. And then I thought it's probably a good principle for both moms and dads, right? And so two ways to love them. First is we love them what? Unconditionally. Right? If we put conditions on our love, like I'll love you if, or I'll love you when you do this, right? Have you ever done that? Loving our kids unconditionally is one of the greatest gifts that we can give to them. Unconditional love is the way that what? God loves us. And if we're going to be a model of God's love and teach our kids about how God's love works, as best as we can, we want to try to love our kids unconditionally, asking God for strength, because we must certainly can't what? Do that on our own. A second way to love them is to love them personally. Here's what I mean by that. There's no substitute for you. You can't fool ourselves into believing that we meet our kids' needs by buying them stuff, or we had a great time on that once a year vacation or whatever. There's no substitute for you. And I remember when my kids were little and being in ministry and actually having to make that decision, right? Am I going to be there for my kids? And ministry's time consuming. And so that balance between home and ministry can be tricky. And I also made a lot of bad decisions as a parent of my kids. And we're not going to go down that road this morning, but we all probably do, right? And I'm glad that 1 Peter 4 says that love covers what? A multitude of sins. The third way to love them is practically. And so how do you do that? Well, a good place to start is 1 Corinthians 13, right? Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Just go through the list and find one thing you can do to love your kids in more of a practical way. If you're a parent, or maybe you're here, go through that list and find one thing you can do to love your husband or your wife in more of a practical way. If you're married, one thing you can do to love your friends in a more practical way. Just a great section of scripture to teach us how to love. And so we love our kids unconditionally, personally, and practically. And the next thing as parents we're responsible to do is to discipline our children. And here's the hot button this morning, right? Probably going to get into some trouble here, but you know me. Let's go. Here we go. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11 says this about discipline. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son who he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. And God is treating you as sons. And for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And if you are left without discipline, in which we all have participated, then you are an illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time and it seemed to be best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. And for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So what this is saying is that God sends his discipline into our lives. And so don't feel like he doesn't love you, because he does, right? It's that love that he disciplines us. It's like when you say to your kids, when you have to discipline them, you spank them or whatever, or you know, do whatever you do in that area. And you tell them, right, I do this because I love you. And they don't believe you, right? And it's like we don't believe God when he does it. But the reality is it's the truth. Here are some things about discipline I think we learn from this portion of Scripture. Number one is that everyone needs discipline, right? No such thing as a perfect kid. Or a kid that doesn't need discipline. Even as adults, sometimes we need discipline, and God does that. And we need it because we all have a sin nature. Right? We're all not perfect. And we need to recognize what sin does to us and how it hurts those around us. Number two, discipline is painful. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but rather it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so this is where we talk about discipline and people get all worked up, because this is where most of the time we talk about spanking and all that, and is that an okay form of discipline? And then you know the verse, right? Proverbs 13, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. And then we automatically go to physical discipline here, and I think that may be a part of it, but I don't think it's necessarily all of it. It doesn't have to be necessarily physical. The text here, I want to also say, does not support any kind of physical abuse of children, for sure. And I do think you need to know your child and be creative to do what works best in their lives. But the Bible says, I think it says that spanking is an okay form of discipline. I'll give you the example in our own family, right? Like, it says discipline should be painful, right? And so for our son, the most painful thing we could do for him is send him to his room and have him sit on his bed and not move, right? Because he was the kid that was like, hey, I'll take the spanking. Can I just do that right now? And then I'm done. On the other hand, our daughter, you send her to her room for 3 hours, she was loving that, right? I'll create my world with my dolls and all that stuff. I mean, she was loving that. Right? And so we had to think about what's the best way to interact with both of them. All right, number three, disciplines for the benefit of the person who is being disciplined. So if you're a parent, discipline is not for your benefit. And this one is interesting to me because I'm pretty sure that I have done this, right? I've disciplined my kids for my benefit. Like, I'm not thinking, how is this going to help them grow? I'm thinking, you're driving me crazy and this has got to stop, right? So discipline comes when I'm thinking about them, not about myself. And so we're not perfect, and so the Bible is reminding us the best time to discipline our kids is when I'm thinking about what's best for them. How is this discipline going to benefit them? How is it going to grow them? The fourth one it teaches us is that our short-term discipline as parents prepares our kids for God's long-term discipline. So as parents, we discipline for a short time, but we're getting them ready so they'll understand God's discipline. And he allows us to go through struggles and difficulties in our lives so that someday we will share in his holiness and in his goodness and perfection. So when you start to think about the way that we should discipline, we need to look at our hearts. All right. The third thing that parents are responsible for is to have compassion on your children. And I guess that's obvious, right? We're supposed to care about our kids. And first part of Isaiah 30, verse 18, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. And whenever the Lord waits or seems to delay, it always has a loving purpose behind it. And we can trust that even when we don't understand it. But his mercy exalts the goodness of a person who gives it. It shows them to be loving and generous and full of compassion. And so we should have compassion on our kids like God has compassion for us. All right, number four. I know you're thinking there's eight. We'll get through it. Don't worry. Number four, setting up an environment for your children to know the Lord. And Scripture talks about how little children were brought to Jesus. And statistics tell us that 94% of people that give their lives to Christ do so before the age of 18. And so that being said, you can see the importance to create an environment so your kids can know the Lord. And we talked a little bit about this last week and talking about your faith and talking to your kids about Jesus and about the stories in the Bible and how all that is good for them. And I understand the Holy Spirit convicts hearts and God draws them to himself, but God can use you as a parent to share Christ with your kids. And so last week, we were talking about telling our kids to follow me as I follow Christ, right? And so we are to set that example. All right, next one, number five, is to pray for your children, not just with them at bedtime, but for them. I can pray with my kids, but praying for them, I need to start to think about their needs, right? Thinking about where they struggle and what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are and so on. And so we pray for them. Number six is to provide for your children. When we provide for our kids as a believer, you're fulfilling part of your Christian responsibility for your children. We provide for their needs. We show them how to be a generous giver and how to and we teach them how to give to the Lord, and it's really a gift to them. And then number seven is to encourage your child's spiritual growth. And this is an important one to remember. Even though they'll get a lot of good teaching at church and in Sunday school, but as parents, we have the primary responsibility for their spiritual growth. And we as parents should be teaching our kids about things like how do you be a member of God's family? How do you mature in your faith? How do you worship God? How do you minister to others? How do you be on mission in the sphere of their influence? All right, last one, responsibility to our kids as parents is to nurture them in the teaching of the Lord. There are three things that I want to go over here this morning quickly. to make a difference as we nurture our kids in the teaching of the Lord. Number one is to verbalize them, right? You talk to them. Deuteronomy 6, 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk with them and sit in your house. And then you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise, right? You make your faith a part of your life. And it's not just a Sunday thing, but rather all through the week. We talk about Jesus at meals and in your car and when you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning, right? We talk about who Christ is. And then secondly, you memorize them. First part of Deuteronomy 11, 18, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. And the idea here is that God called Israel not only to read the word of God, but to know the word of God and to treasure it. In the same way, we as parents should love God's word and we should call that into our minds with longing and having it laid up on our hearts and our soul. And then we teach our kids to do the same. And the last one is to symbolize them, Deuteronomy 6, 8. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Then in Deuteronomy 11, 20, it goes on to say, you shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. And the point is that we should be talking to others about our faith. And I started to think about, well, how can we do that in like our day and age that we live in now? And I thought, well, one of the great ways we could do that is you could get in like an NCF t-shirt, right? It has like scripture on the back of it and gives you an opportunity to talk about the Lord with other people as they see your t-shirt. And I have a quick story about that. I had my t-shirt on and I got sick and I went to the doctor and I had urgent care and the doctor there asked me about the church. And so I was telling him about the church, and lo and behold, it was Jason Collins. Is he here today? Oh, right here, Jason, right? You remember that? And so just a way, right, to share about your faith, right? Another way to do that is to put, like, scripture art, for lack of a better term, like, in your house, right? If you have scriptures that are on pictures or plaques or whatever, and you have them in your house, and so when people come to your house, they know a little bit about who you are and what you stand for, right? And I think also that'll make an impact on your kids as well. And so I just want to leave you this morning, encourage you with this, that children are a gift from the Lord. Amen? All right, let's pray.